Acts 7:49. Heaven is my throne, and earth is the footstool of my feet. What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord? Acts 7:49. Heaven is my throne, and earth is the footstool of my feet. What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord? Acts 7:49. Psalm 119:142. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth. Psalm 119:142. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth. Psalm 119:142. Psalm 19:9. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They're righteous altogether. Psalm 19:9. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They're righteous altogether. Psalm 19:9. Psalm 119:144. Thy testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I might live. Psalm 119:144. Thy testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I might live. Psalm 119:144. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to John chapter 1, verse 12. John chapter 1, verse 12. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study today. We have a magnificent passage of Scripture before us, John 1:12. I'm going to ask you to help me today by letting me have fun in the presentation of this verse. And you know that I have fun when I am able to share with you words that are important, and especially when I deal with verbs. All of you know that I am in love with verbs. And so please understand that you're going to help me have fun in these moments studying John 1:12. There'll be some other verses and we'll have some fun with those. But primarily, we're looking at John 1:12, and you'll see it in the bulletin today. There's an insert with the translation. And so please look, then look on the back of your bulletin, and you will find the translation from the German. So I trust that you'll notice all of these things. May we pray together, please. Father, we rejoice today again that we realize how fantastic it is that we're privileged to open our hearts and minds to the magnificent eternal truths of your word. We're happy today that we have this magnificent book. This is the inspired Word of God. We are assured of the fact that this is our roadmap. It is this magnificent message from this magnificent book that makes it possible for us to have joy and peace and satisfaction and happiness on a day-by-day basis. We realize that saved by grace is so fantastic, but also living in the midst of your provisions of grace is also extremely wonderful. And so we're thankful today that we're privileged to be here to focus our attention upon the Word of God. Bless us in these moments. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. John 1:12 is now on the screen for you to see. As I already mentioned, it's in your bulletin today as an insert. We're going to take a look at this magnificent verse exegetically. And we're dealing with this fact that we are presented in the Bible as children of God. It's a magnificent thing to know that you are a child of God. We understand that when we look at this passage of Scripture, you could translate it sons of God. That's okay. But my emphasis today is for you as an individual to realize how magnificent, how wonderful, how great it is to be a child of God. A child of God. I just say that over and over again because I want you to see that the Bible emphasizes the importance of us comprehending, being able to see how great it is to be a child of God. Are you somehow feeling that I'm trying to get something over to you? I'm trying to get over to you the importance of understanding that since we've been born into God's kingdom, the Bible says, as an individual, we are a child of God. Okay. Since you got that, I'm having fun. Let's look at it. But as many as received Him, He gave to them authority to become a child of God, or sons of God, to the ones believing in His name. How powerful, how profound, how simple. Am I foolish by saying that? This is simple and yet extremely profound. And you've got to see every word that's found here. But as many as receive Him. Here is auton, which is a personal pronoun. But as many as received Him. Notice, please, the word receive is lambano. By now, you ought to be able to read with me these Greek letters. L-A-M-B-A-N-O. Can you do it? Good. I'm proud of you. Lambano. L-A-M-B-A-N-O. But you're also able to see how the word is used. Aorist tense. That's the first A there. A point of time. It was a point of time some weeks ago, some months ago, some years ago, when you personally accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. It was a point of time, that magnificent point of time, God worked the miracle of salvation, transformation, the dry baptism of the Holy Spirit, imputed righteousness. All these words that I'm using for you, I'm doing this not only for the adults in here, but for you younger folk. I want you to listen carefully to what I'm saying. I'm glad you're here because I want you to hear it. I want you to see that this aorist tense means at a point of time. You accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior at a point of time. And when you did that, God worked the miracle that brought about the possibility at that moment for you to be something you haven't been in the past. Now you are a child of God. A child of God. All right. Aorist tense, active voice. Subject produces action. The I stands for the indicative mood, which is the mood of reality. How many times have you heard this? Thousands of times. How many times will you hear it in the future? If the Lord lets me live, more thousands of times. Indicative mood. A mood of reality. Reality. Not wonderment. Reality. When God saved you, He doesn't sponsor any flops. God saved you with the eternal salvation. Indicative mood, the mood of reality. All right. Since I've had fun so far, let me go on and have some more fun. But as many as received Him, He gave. Another verb. Didomi. Look at it. D-I-D-O-M-I. Didomi. How's that word used in the original text? Aorist, active, indicative. You say, preacher, you just got through talking about that. Yes, I did. But now I'm repeating it. Why am I repeating it? Because that's the way it is in the original language. I have to do what the original language tells me to do. Aorist tense, point of time. Active voice, subject produces action. Indicative mood, the mood of reality. He gave to them. We're going to go to that other word in a moment. He gave to them. If you're going to receive a gift from anyone, don't you think that the greatest gift that could ever be given would come from God? He gave to them. Notice something else, and I found this so powerful. Exousion. Exousion is the Greek word for authority. God gave to them, you, the authority to become. The word become is ginomai. Look at it. G-I-N-O-M-A-I. When I say O-M-A-I, I know it's a deponent verb. I could go into that, but I won't talk to you about that now. I want you to see how that word is used. Aorist tense. He gave to them the authority to what? Become. At a point of time. At a point of time. Now, all of you are going to be surprised because you're going to see that there is not an A next. There's an M. And M stands for the middle voice. A stands for the active voice. P stands for the passive voice. You say, preacher, do you mean I have to listen to you talk about all of those things? Why don't you just go on? Well, I will in a moment, but thank you for letting me just keep on going right now on this. Active voice, subject produces the action. Middle voice, the subject participates in the action and is normally benefited thereby. If it's positive, then the subject benefits. If it's negative, the middle voice says the subject doesn't benefit. Here it says, with a positive, he gave to them the authority to what? To ginomai, to become sons, a child of God. But notice something else. Oh, this is so fantastic. It's not an indicative mood. Look at that, I-N-F, infinitive. What does that mean? That means it's God's desire for the individual to desire what God has to give. The middle voice says it's God's desire to give to anyone who will believe. It's God's desire to give salvation. It's real. The infinitive mood is it's God's desire. And it'll be beneficial to an individual who will accept it. Now I want to ask you a question. Don't answer it out loud, please. Do you see the reason why it's important for me to study and give you this kind of information? Do you see that? It's important. I'm not trying to be an egotist or show off. I just want you to know that I desire to know what God's Word says. And I want, when I find it, I want to share it with you. All right. But as many as received him, he gave to them authority to become a technon, a child of God. To the ones, how do you get it? Believing in his name. And the word believe there is pistuo. Pistos is the noun faith. Pistuo is the verb believing, which says, in essence, I faith it. So what it means to be saved is that you faith it. And so it says that this is a present active participle, dative, masculine, plural. We could go into that discussion, no need to. John 1:12, that's our verse. Now please stay with me. In 1 Corinthians 15:22, it says, for as in Adam all die, see, even so also in Christ, all will be made alive. Now, what I would like for you to do is to put into your thinking those two verses, John 1:12 and 1 Corinthians 15:22. For as in Adam, first Adam, all die, even so in Christ, second Adam, all will be made alive. Oh, I just have to stop myself and rejoice with you for a few moments because I can deal with all these other verbs, but let me get to this last one. All will be made alive. The Greek word for life is zoe. The Greek word for do or make is poeo. And what I have here from the Greek is zo poeo. The two words go together. To do or to make life. Isn't that beautiful? All right. For as in Adam, first Adam, all die. Even so in Christ, second Adam, all will be made alive. Future passive indicative verb. Now I have some other verses. I can't do that now. Okay. Time is limited always for me, but I want you to see something. A child of God, John 1:12. Please listen. Truth can be rejected, but never defeated. Truth can be rejected, but never defeated. Put it down. There's no way to defeat God's truth. You can reject it, but it's not going to be defeated. The truth we study today relates to what God does for us by means of the second Adam. Listen carefully. In Romans 5:12, which we have right here, therefore, as through one man, sin entered into the world, and through sin came death. And so to all men, all women, all boys, all girls, death passed inasmuch as all sinned. I'd like to go through all the verbs here, but I can't do that. I won't have the time. But I want you to see it. Let's get it together. Romans 5:12 presents the first Adam. 1 Corinthians 15:22 presents the second Adam, Christ. Romans 5:15 says that there's an offense. And in the first service today, I told you why people were offended by what God has done through Christ. Slip up, wrongdoing, trespass, falling away, lapse, sin. All have sinned. And people don't like to hear that. People don't like to hear about the simplicity of salvation. People are offended by the cruelty of the cross. People don't appreciate the claims of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those points were given to you in the first service. We, look at this, we enter the first family by physical birth. We're born physically alive and spiritually dead. Have you heard that 1,000 times? Yes. We enter the second family by spiritual birth. We enter the first birth, we enter the first family by the birth that's called physical. We enter the second family by spiritual birth. In the first family, there's condemnation. In the second family, there's regeneration. This is simple, and yet it's profound. What we find in Corinthians is the scripture says that a person who is born as a natural person. Natural has to do with the first birth. And the natural word there is psychikos, which is soulish. We're born first time soulish. But when we're born again, we're born pneumatikos. Pneuma is the spirit. Pneumatikos. We're born from above. We're born of God. That's the reason why, and you've heard me say it hundreds of times, we move from body and soul to body, soul, and spirit. I think that's so important, I want to teach it again in the next few weeks. In the first family, there's condemnation. In the second family, there's regeneration. You've accepted Christ. You've been born again. You didn't do anything to save yourself. He saved you. And so what do you have? Regeneration. A barrier was made by the first Adam. The barrier was removed by the second Adam. That makes sense? And then my last page. You didn't realize I was going to go so fast. The last page. But before you get away from this one, look at it. In the first family, there's condemnation. In the second family, there's regeneration. A barrier was made by the first Adam. We have a lot of information to give you about that barrier. We won't get into it now. But that barrier was removed by the second Adam. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, came forth out of the grave, ascended to sit at the Father's right hand, that barrier was removed. Sin is not the issue for the unsaved. The issue is, what will you do with Jesus? So, I've got to go to this last one. Stay with me and look at this, how great it is. We have gained much more by the second Adam than we lost with the first Adam. Now, if you don't take any other notes today other than this one, you ought to take this one down. We have gained much more by the second Adam, Jesus Christ, than we lost by the first Adam. The reason why observance of the Lord's Supper is so important is because we spend moments in silence so that we can rejoice over what we've just been hearing. The greatest time of worship will be during these silent moments when in your mind you're able to go through some of these thoughts about the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done, is doing, and will do for you and me in these moments of silence. That's the reason why I think the observance of the Lord's Supper is such a magnificent time. It's not a time just to sit for a few moments in silence and not think about anything. It's time for us to think. And when we're thinking, what's happening to us is we're worshiping. And you're able to think about the things that have just been said. It's wonderful to do that. May we bow for a moment of prayer as our men come to prepare for the observance of the Lord's table. I'm going to read in a few moments some scripture from 1 Corinthians. But this is an important time for all of us. A beautiful time to think about what God has done and is doing for us. To think about the fact that we have been moved from the natural man, the psychikos, to the spiritual man, the pneumatikos. These are such beautiful words to see that God makes a change in our lives. So wonderful, so great. So we're going to read these verses of Scripture. You'll just spend a few moments in silent prayer, please. First Corinthians chapter 11. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus in the night in which he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. Therefore, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the Lord's blood. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment, if he does not judge first himself. For this reason many among you are weak and sick. But if we judged ourselves or rightly, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord in order that we may not be condemned along with the world. What this is saying to us is that the requirement for us to properly observe the Lord's table is for us to be in fellowship, in harmony. That's the reason why we spend a few moments in prayer, to be restored to fellowship if that's our need. May we pray together, please. Father, thank you so much for the fact that we are here today to thank you again for your master's grace. We're thankful for the death, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension, the session of Jesus Christ. These are very important moments for us as we come today to remember what you have done, what you will do, what you are doing even now. We thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. It is our custom to retain the bread until all have been served. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. The bread represents Christ, whose body was broken for us. Take and eat thereof. Father, we're thankful again for what Jesus Christ has done and is doing for us every day. We pray that you will help us in these moments, that we will rejoice in your grace. We thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. It is our custom to retain the cup until all have been served. We have not been redeemed by corruptible things like silver or gold, but by the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without spot or blemish. Remember, as we take this cup, we remember our Lord's willingness to be our substitute. Take and drink thereof. It is our custom to sing. Number 324. John is here to lead us. You'll turn to 324. We're going to sing, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." May we stand together as we sing.
Lord of our shame, sinful hearts. He is our great